with the congregations in the morning. I've been working through a series called Reclaiming Christmas. And today we're going to reclaim Christmas from Hollywood. That Christmas was an animated movie released last year, just in time for the festivities. And it's one of a long line of films that a brain-dead, cheap-budget audience wants to watch at Christmas time. I don't know if you get as frustrated as I do when you're watching movies and you think, okay, they're just capitalizing on the whole Christmas theme. It's written so that people can cuddle around a fire, sipping Glühwein. I'm sorry for you if you live in Australia or Southern Hemisphere at the middle of summer and you've got all these traditions with ice and polar bears and everything else around you. And so we've got a whole number of movies that have come from that. Sorry, I meant to tell the kids that if you want to start coloring in and doing things on your taking a couple of notes, you're welcome to do that. There are a whole lot of Christmas stories, Christmas-themed stories like Die Hard and A Christmas Carol and Polar Express and Miracle on 34th Street and Christmas in Connecticut and Home Alone and National Lampoon and Trading Places and Love Actually, and the list just carries on and on and on. And the whole idea is that everybody just wants to get into that Christmas spirit. And I think it's time for Christians to say, this is what Christmas is really all about. We'll take it back from the sentimentalists, because yes, there's a little bit of sentimentalism in each one of us. We can so easily be swept up by the emotion. And yeah, the reason for the celebration is that feel-good sentiment and generosity to those who are less fortunate. It's a time when Jesus came into the world. And yes, we do the traditional thing. We came here tonight because my family made me come today, and this is one of the traditions that our family has. And I hope the sermon comes to an end quite quickly. Sorry about that, but I even get enthralled when people speak about redemption and forgiveness and community and togetherness and hope and the magic of Christmas. But so easily we can be sidetracked and we forget what Christmas really all is about. The feel-good films are not an accurate take on reality. Just the same as Disney is not an accurate take on reality. It doesn't all start in a land far, far away. It doesn't all end with, and they lived happily ever after. But there's that bit in us where we all want to be the person who this wonderful, young, attractive other person falls in love with. We dream of living in that ideal location and just being free from all the frustrations of the world. We slip into that Hollywood dream of being, I think I could be this highest paid sports star. Even if I'm a boxer with very little reputation and just a YouTuber. And we think we can do the impossible, particularly over Christmas time, because that's what Hollywood says. It's the same old plot, time after time. That's just where I'm starting off. It is that same old plot. Producers very occasionally interview people who haven't made it big. When last did you see a movie, a South African-made movie of the Zimbabweans that have come down here? And they're living under a bridge and they're fearful because the police are trying to repatriate them. When last did you see a movie about a musician from New York who didn't get that big break? And he's busking on the subways, hardly earning enough to eat. When last did you see a movie on South Africans who became Russian mercenaries, caught up in a war that was not their own and became cannon fodder on the front line? Those four films don't sell. You see, there's a niche market for those films, and every now and so often, a producer will get a bee in his bonnet and he wants to make a statement to the world. And he puts it out there just so that everybody knows what's really happening. But we never want to come away from a movie house feeling depressed. So the stories on the screens are where an ordinary person becomes this inspiration. It's where a young cricketer in Pakistan wants to become the next Wasim Akram or Sachin Tendulkar. It's where those little girls have the fantasy where they're going to be the mom or the princess or the bride or the mermaid that comes out of the sea. It's the same old plot. You see, within our nature, we've got this desire for good to triumph over evil. We want baddies to be overcome. And as long as good triumphs over evil, or my way triumphs over your way, I'm happy. And sometimes it's not only good triumphing over evil, it's just becoming the hero of the story. It's the same old plot. I'm the hero, and I'm going to overcome everything that doesn't stand for what I stand for. Even the little boys in Manenberg and Soweto and Khayelitsha want to grow up to be drug lords. Not because evil must triumph over good, but because that's the greatest thing to which they can aspire. And they just say, we want to be the person with the power. Is there any hope? Yes, there is. There is hope. Even for those who are wanting to escape this meaningless existence, for people who think there's got to be something better to life. I got to my goal and my goal wasn't high enough, so I reset it a little bit higher. Or I set my goal and that was too high and I've got this bitter disappointment. You see, despite what Hollywood tells us, our life is not about rainbows and butterflies, fast cars and superficial relationships. Those often just leave us broken. So what is the story in reality? The story is it probably won't come true. And so people become very cynical. I read of W.B. Yeats, who wrote a poem called Broken Dreams, and these are the opening lines. There is gray in your hair. Young men no longer suddenly catch their breath when you're passing. But maybe some old gaffer mutters a blessing because it was your prayer. There was a painting by Edward Hopper. And he wrote, he painted the painting of four people sitting at a diner. Quite a well-known artwork in America, particularly. But there was a person by the name of Gottfried Helwein who took that picture and he changed it. He changed the faces. Now, you've got to be really old to recognize these faces. Sorry. No, you've got to be a little bit older than me to be recognized. Faces of Humphrey Bogart, Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, and Elvis Presley. And the shock art value of that is all of them died a tragic death. Because Hollywood hasn't always got it right. There's a poem called Boulevard of Broken Dreams, which hits a chord with many people. Modern Talking did their version of it. Sting did his version of it. Sheena Easton did it. Many other cover versions were done. Styles range from Canadian crooning all the way through to Welsh punk. And it just shows that no matter where you are on the globe, this happily ever after story doesn't hit home. And that's why we escape to those rom-coms. People hit nightclubs and go to sports events just dreaming what they could one day be. You see, the sad reality is that's just a dream. As Christians, we can't minimize that pain and suffering. We can't promise, don't worry, everything's just going to get better. It's artificial to suppose that this Christmas time there's going to be an absence of violence, that nobody's going to pick up a weapon on Christmas Day, that there's going to be peace on earth to all mankind. Even in your homes, there's bound to be a disagreement somewhere around Christmas time. When somebody put the crackers on the wrong chair, somebody's got more than somebody else, I don't like turkey again, and somebody else just didn't do it the way that I need it done. That's despite the recent latest movies released. A Merry Little Xmas, Merv, a very Jonas Christmas movie, Oh What Fun, Champagne Problems. They all follow the same theme, trying to help us escape out of the harshness of human life. I suppose the reason why it's so contrary to everything we know is because we want to be the hero. We think we'll be happier if we're the hero. We'll find satisfaction and contentment. We think, if I could just have the dream wedding, I'll be happy. If I could just land the best job in the world, I'll be happy. If I can make it to retirement, I'll be pretty happy if I can afford retirement. And every time we set that goal, it seems to be elusive. Christians need to reclaim Christmas because true contentment is not found in being the hero of the story. Your identity is not going to bring you happiness. No matter how you identify yourself, no matter what you identify as, no matter whether you say my priority is to be a South African or a Brit or any other nationality, my priority is to be a faithful husband or a loving dad, we find that we miss the mark so often. Because if we are the hero of the story, our identity overtakes everything else that's happening. It was St. Augustine who said about God, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." That's exactly what the writer to Ecclesiastes said. Sorry, it's meant to be Ecclesiastes 6. I'll leave that out. But Ecclesiastes 6 says, "A man may have 100 children and live many years, yet no matter how long he lives, he cannot enjoy his prosperity and does not receive a proper burial. I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. It comes without meaning. It departs in darkness. And in darkness, its name is shrouded." That's the Bible. It speaks about life without God being a vapor, meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So what's the hope? The follow-up to careers, relationships, to possessions, and win it big days, horrible squabbles. How do we stop becoming like that horrible painting? We could have that wonderful white snow-laced romance, the feel-good of relationships, the kindness to people who we don't know. But until we get to the point where we're realizing that we are not the hero of the story, we're the ones that need to be saved, we're going to be chasing our tails. See, the truth is that if we're the ones to be saved, there is a king who is greater than we are. Hezekiah found that out. He suddenly realized his own mortality when he couldn't defend his nation. We don't have to get to that point before we realize there's got to be something more to life. And this is the faithfulness of God, the greatness of that first Christmas. The love of God doesn't start when Jesus comes into the world. We started writing Genesis where God says, "I will overcome evil." We went right through Isaiah to hear that the child would be born miraculously. We read the account of John that God sent his son into the world. He is the word of God that has come to reveal God to us. And the real Christmas story is God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. How do we know that this is not a fairy tale? How do we know that this is true? Just before Jesus died, he prayed. And part of his prayer was, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me. To that end, the whole of the Old Testament, God prepares the world for the coming king. Not just his nation. We even notice that men from far away, wise men, came from the east looking to adore Jesus. He's the Messiah for the world. He was predicted in the prophets. He was typified in the heroes of the Old Testament. He was longed for in the writings. He was foretold through the sacrifices. God is forever faithful. He's not going to leave us unsatisfied or feeling as though there's some level we can never attain. That's Hollywood. It leaves us empty. But this is a promise that comes from the all-knowing, all-caring, loving Father. As he resets the universe, he says, look for me, and you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. I made enemies from the little children in youth group, because I know a lot of little kids want I'm not going to ask who wants it because they're all going to put their hands up and the big kids are going to put their hands up as well. It's nice. Remember when you first had your wonderful cotton candy? Even better. That's what Hollywood gives us. Sweet fluff. Do you know what it's all worth in the end? Ultimately, all your dreams come to nothing. Oh, who wanted the... Isn't that what Hollywood does for us? It's all nice and wonderful on the outside, but ultimately, it's worth nothing. I say that, but I'm pretty certain that one of my grandchildren will come and want to drink it. So I'm going to put it away, because ultimately it just rots your teeth and doesn't do much for your gut either. But you see, what Hollywood want to give us is not worth very much. Instead, Paul says, I've learnt to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Who is the one who gives you strength? Doesn't come from Hollywood. It doesn't come from the feel-good movies that everything's going to work out in the end. One thing supreme that we know is that God is with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. And we can celebrate that Jesus has come into this world to walk alongside of us, to hold us, and to give us strength. I'd like you to bow your heads as we pray one last time. We thank you, gracious God, that you were so intent in establishing this relationship with us, that Jesus came into this world to give his all, that we might know what it is to be loved and cherished, protected and forgiven. Would you help us not to follow the stories that would captivate us, that have very little reality and truth in them. But help us to look to you for real meaning, real understanding, and real wisdom. Lead us by your Holy Spirit, and give us the life that we cannot get ourselves. Would you be the hero of our Christmas? And would you make a difference to us this year? Draw us to yourself. Help us to search for you and find you as we search for you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.